BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hiya, podcast fans. This is Scott Mills, and I've got today's show for you, Tuesday's Scott Mills Daily. On it, a wetter than he was expecting innuendo bingo with Reggie Yates. Tim Minchin comes in for a chat, and we talk about hot Christmases in Australia, the genius that was the live episode of The Only Way is Essex, and more real or no real, all on this handy podcast. Let's go.
BBC Radio 1.
Hi, Tim Minchin.
Hi.
I like it that we meet up just before Christmas every year.
Yeah.
It's becoming a tradition.
Yeah, I'm like your skanky great uncle who makes you sit on my knee.
I like it. You've had an incredible year. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
It was amazing. It's people were surprised by how utterly seriously I take that piece. It's a weird thing. I call it Disco Bible, but I've always wanted to do Judas, specifically that role. It's the only role in any musical I've ever desperately wanted to play. So when it came up, I couldn't believe it. And it only came up because I basically bullied Lloyd Webber into considering me.
How did you do that?
Well, Lloyd Webber, among other things, owns theatres, and one of his theatres is the Cambridge Theatre in Seven Dials, where Matilda's playing, and I wrote the songs for that. So we went to lunch, you know, as you do, me and the Lord, and it was actually a lovely lunch, and the restaurant gave us a free bottle of very good wine, because between me and Lloyd Webber, we couldn't scrape together enough pennies for our own wine. Free to those who can afford it. Lloyd Webber's cellar, by the way, is apparently very impressive. I haven't seen it. Right. I'm talking about his wine cellar. That's not a euphemism for something.
So he could have bought his own, really.
He probably could have scraped together a bottle of wine. But, yeah, I just used the opportunity to... Well, he just wanted to talk musical theatre and I wanted to talk Judas. And eventually it came around. And I had a ball, and Mel's just gorgeous, and Moyles is gorgeous, and just lovely people, and nice, doing this role and travelling around.
I would have been excited to be on stage with the Spice Girl all the time.
I was pretty excited. And to go on a bus with a Spice Girl and be on a stage just to stand next to one.
Yeah.
But I sort of thought, oh, it'll be great to work with a Spice Girl, but she'll be in the clouds because she's been a pop star for 15 years. But she's like, she's nicer than normal people. She's just so down to earth. I can't believe it.
And Matilda won the Olivier Award as well.
Yeah, that's been utterly amazing. I mean, it's just, I'm a variety addict, and this year has been my dream to the extent that it's actually a bit stressful, because I did JC and I did Matilda, and I was in LA for quite a bit of the summer.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
You're filming.
It's a TV show called Californication with David Duchovny as an amoral sex hound. And I was playing someone that made his character look moral. I was playing a rock star called Atticus Fetch, who just walks around in the nude. I'm in the nude a lot.
Are you?
Well, I'm topless a hell of a lot, and I'm in the nude quite a bit. You don't actually see my twig and berries, but you see everything else.
So you kind of get the idea of what they might be like.
Yeah, you get a sort of hint, a shadow of the twig, and just a silhouette of the berries. But yeah, it's pretty fun. And then I was coming back every weekend from LA, because I'm such an environmentalist that I like to fly all the time, to do festivals, summer festivals with my band, you know. It was really fun.
It's been quite full on this year.
It's been full on, yeah. Apparently I have children, but I don't know what they look like.
When was the last time you saw your family?
I don't know. I don't even remember when it was. I think one of them's a boy. I don't know what the other one is.
So, are you going to do any more musicals?
I want to write another one. I'm sort of working on one now, sort of vaguely secret, I suppose, based on a film from the 80s, early 90s. Which a lot of people want to put films on stage now, you know, Shrek, Dirty Dancing, Ghost. And I'm a bit squeamish about that because I think that can be a bit silly. Yeah. But this is a really fantastic script and we want to make it super cool.
I'm just trying to think what it might be. Is it Ghostbusters?
It's not Ghostbusters, although that's a good idea. And
Ghostbusters 2?
There are The Ghostbusters is incredibly close vis-a-vis people involved.
Okay. St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes. No. Imagine if we made
Con Air.
Is it
I'd love it if it's this. Is it Mighty Ducks?
The Mighty Ducks would be the perfect musical. I mean, Matilda's basically the Mighty Ducks. It's the underdog coming to kick the butts of the big wigs. I think the Mighty Ducks is actually a very good idea. Surely it's been done.
I don't remember Mighty Ducks, the musical.
Mighty, mighty, mighty ducks. What are we? Ducks, what are we? Mighty, mighty ducks.
Okay, so we're quite close with Ghostbusters. I'm not going to pursue this anymore, Tim.
No.
Like, we'll find out.
Well, do you know what I'd love to talk about? The thing is, it might all fall apart and then everyone will look like idiots.
Yeah.
More of an idiot.
Are you heading to Australia for Christmas then?
Yeah, going tomorrow. Actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to do a big outdoor music festival, one-day festival in Sydney on Saturday night this week with the band, and then home for my sister's wedding and all that proper...
And then get the wine on.
Get the wine on. Yeah. Proper Minchin Superfest.
Apart from it being hot, is it exactly the same Christmas in Australia? Like, what's on TV? Because there's no EastEnders, is there?
Do you know the TV thing was not... Everyone, that idea of having lunch and sitting down and watching TV in the afternoon wasn't... a meme that was familiar to me at all. I had no idea that people watch TV on Christmas Day.
It's because it's generally depressing and cold outside.
Well, that's it. We go to the beach.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, though, in Perth, it can be un-go-outsideable. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone thinks of summer in Australia as beautiful. Between 10 and 3, you sometimes just can't go outside. It's 44 degrees or something.
Oof.
It's really nasty, but it's often not. It will be mid to high 30s, though, and it's really hot.
Yeah. But so nobody is watching TV, really?
I don't know. I can't speak for all Australians, but I'd say that would be un-Australian to watch TV on Christmas Day. Look, the ridiculous thing is we still have European traditions, so we still get pine, you know, conifer-based plant life, stick them in our house, and often drape sort of snow-looking stuff on it. It's ridiculous.
I would find that strange.
Santa's still all... You know, in this ridiculous... All the supermarket Santas, the shopping mall Santas, sweating their heads off, dressed in full suits and fake stomachs and beards, you know. It's ridiculous. It's all your fault.
It is, actually. You'd think they'd make a kind of hot weather edition of him.
Well, that in a slightly kitsch, vaguely embarrassing but kind of cool way, over the last 20 years, there have been many... Sort of Christmas cards tend to have Santa Claus in a red singlet and board shorts with his big beard. And it's sort of annoying, but at least it's vaguely sort of meteorologically related.
And you know when you go into a shop, there's a lot of songs about snow.
Yeah, all that.
Are they on?
Yeah, weather outside is frightful. No, it's not. It's beautiful. Yeah, all those songs as well. Although, again, over the last few years, there's been some good Australian Christmas songs. The north wind is tossing the leaves. You know, all this. It's all still religious stuff. But you can, one step at a time, we'll get rid of the weird weather and then we'll get rid of the weird saints.
Now, you have done, for the first time, a studio version of White Wine in the Sun. We've had you in a couple of times with a keyboard playing it. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to do this?
Well, I've been muso and performing for years, and I basically never go into the studio. I'm a kind of live guy, and that's what I do, and I record my live shows. But I quite often think, oh, that song should just be put down properly with proper sound and no audience clapping and laughing, and just so that people can listen to it or it can be played on the radio. So I've been wanting to do a studio version of this for years. Two things stop me. One is always time. I get to December and go, oh, didn't do it again. And the other is that White Wine and Sun's always been a piano thing, and in the recorded version that most people know, that know the song, there's strings, and it's all a bit, oh, nice ballad, oh, have some strings. And I wanted to see if I could make it a bit more folky to start with, a bit more rumbling along casual, and then when it expands out, I wanted to get some horns involved, so it felt a bit sort of pseudo-churchy. And so I just, my man Pete did an arrangement. It's all been very last minute, but I think it's all right, you know.
I mean, because there are hundreds of versions of it on YouTube, but they're all live.
That's right. They're all live. They're all from various concerts, and they're nice, but it would be nice for people to properly be able to have it on their, you know, on in the background over dinner and not have weird people cheering at the end. And I don't know. I mean, there's one thing that all my songs have in common, and that is that I'm singing them. And I can't stand that feature of them. So I'm not going to listen to it. And I'm sure there'll be other people who won't want to listen to it either. But it actually, over the 6 years that it's existed, and I always know how old it is because I wrote it for my daughter when she was 3 weeks old, and I mostly remember what age she is, it's become sort of meaningful to a lot of people, a lot in my on my scale. It ain't Mariah Carey, but because it is sort of non-religious but so focused on family, there are a lot of people for whom I think it's a solution to an absence of Christmas songs that they actually relate to.
Yeah.
And so I'm proud of it. I like it.
Unfortunately, due to copyright reasons, we can't bring you the full version of Tim Minchin's White Wine in the Sun, which was played on today's Scott Mills show on Radio 1.
It's really annoying, this.
Do you want to give us a burst?
I'll step in just for podcast. I'll be seeing my gran and my mum and my dad and my son. We'll be drinking white wine in the sun. It's a bit like that.
And now this.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Okay, we're go.
It's Tuesday. It's 1:45. This is Innuendo Bingo.
The cameras are on. Go to the Radio 1 website now and you will see us. It's me, Chris, and today our special guest, Reggie Yates.
Hello, mate.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good, thank you. A little bit nervous.
Thanks for doing this.
No problem.
Now, I want to say before we start that it is natural for a new player to be reserved. I don't want you to do that today, Reg. Just go for his face.
You want to go for his face?
Yeah. It happens a lot, and that's the ones that people like the most.
Right, no. Well, it should be said that I appear on this show quite a bit, because I drop clangers all the time without realising.
On the chart, yes.
Yeah, all the time. So
you may be featured in today's bingo.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah. Brilliant.
Okay, so it's Chris versus Reggie, and I'm ready if you are.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so put the water in your mouth. Right. Nice big gulp, please. Right. It may be a little cold.
It will be cold.
Straight from the cooler.
Cheers. Here we go, mate.
Cheers. Mm-hmm. I like the clinking of plastic cups. Okay. It's a classic to start with, and it's from Vanessa Feltz. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're watching this on the website, everybody. Let me know. Vanessa Feltz, imagine this first thing in the morning.
It's 5:53 and today we're focusing on the front garden. Does your front garden need a facelift? First of all, enhance your entrance, the focal point of all front gardens. Make your entrance as welcoming as possible. It should whisper seductive come-hithers to visitors.
Yeah, Reggie went... Oh! Chris went properly there, Reggie, a little bit. Thank you, Vanessa. Oh.
I snorted first, though. Yeah. Does that count? Sorry.
No, it's fine. Also, we do have a no-hands rule, Reg, so you, like, just go for him.
He's very strict with it.
No, no hands. Because the natural thing to do is to put your hand to your mouth to stop it coming out. Mm. Don't do that. Mm. Okay, over to X Factor now. Got your waters there? Mm-hmm. And far too much information from Gary Barlow.
I won't say it, just in case we're jinxed. I don't want to jinx us. Mm. I better touch wood quick.
All over the... Really?
No.
Where's that gone?
The sensitive area. Yeah. I'm all grey as well.
Oh.
Oh, bad colour.
Gary Barlow and Christopher Maloney there.
Oh. Better touch wood quick.
Yeah. I'm going to put the plastic on. This is
great. Yeah. You are star guru. You can't be having that on your jeans. Okay. He's got the plastic sheeting out. Mm. This means business. Are we ready?
Mm.
Yeah.
Luke in Wales, thank you for spotting this one. Give yourself some points. Jeremy Vine over on Radio 2 has some incredible guests on his show.
You're using your muscles to swing a very large bell.
Oh, no!
Good old Jeremy.
You're using your muscles to swing a very large bell.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
It's all right.
No need to apologise, that's the game.
No. It's all part of the fun.
Yeah, but look, it's in his face. Yeah.
That's fine. You all right, Chris?
Yeah, no.
He's used to it, see?
Okay.
Now, Nick has sent this one in.
I'm so sorry.
You're enjoying this, aren't you, Reggie?
Yeah.
Water, please. Mm-hmm. Did anyone see the rugby? I didn't know until now that this was in the rules.
Martin, you think he got a direct replacement because he hasn't played for a while, has he?
Yeah, it could well do, you know. Lindsay's such a fit player, though, Pocock. I'd be amazed if they do pull him off.
Chris is gone. Reggie's fine. Still good. Right. Should we continue?
Yes.
More? You still got the water in your mouth there? Okay.
I'll refresh.
Okay, refresh. Got a classic here. And this is from... Bargain hunt.
Every Victorian gentleman should have one of these.
Nice shaft, isn't it?
It is a nice shaft.
Oh, no! You did that on purpose. Right.
It's my current favourite, that one.
It's such a bad one.
Oh, Reggie feels bad. Tell him not to worry. He's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Gary and Corn was watching on the webcams. Also, Sophie. I just rushed so much to get home to watch Innuendo Bingo. Hello if you're watching on the website. Okay, Jim and Kettering sent this one in. Water, please. Now, here's a tip. If Hugh Fernley Whittingstall invites you for dinner, please just say no.
Now, I realise that might sound like a really weird combination. The rhubarb is going to be a kind of vegetable cum relish.
It takes you a while, but you get there in the end.
Mm-hmm. Vegetable cum relish.
Okay. More water, please. Now, as you said earlier, Reggie, you're no stranger to innuendo bingo.
Are you in love?
I'm just feeling good, Niall.
He's in love.
I'm just feeling... I'm not...
No, I would know. Yeah, I'm like the sister here, remember? I would know. I don't know anything about it.
She can smell love on me.
What?
Where did that
It's from a while ago, I think.
A long time ago.
I don't know anything about
it. She can smell love on me.
Thanks, Reg. Okay. More water, please.
Oh, we're running low.
Okay. Over to Annika Rice now on BBC Radio 2, who likes to prepare for her Radio 2 show in an interesting way.
Oh, very good morning to you if you've just come to.
Okay.
This sounds like Beavis and Butthead today.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so more water, please.
All right.
Not long now.
Okay.
And you never know what you will find in Cash in the Attic.
And while the purse might attract attention, we're also hoping this gentleman's ring will catch someone's eye.
Oh! Oh,
sorry.
Oh, no!
I
It's on his... Reg.
Man! It's everywhere!
It's dripping off your nose. The glasses are gone.
That was a bad
shot, Chris.
We're also hoping this gentleman's ring will catch someone's eye.
Okay. Now, it's gone
Jesus.
Wrong. Okay.
Oh,
here we go. A little bit more water. And Jamie Oliver is at it again. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Now, is Jamie Oliver doing this on purpose?
That's because you're going too deep. So you don't want to go in too deep. You want to just sort of keep it sort of just shallow near the tip of your chopper.
Both went there.
Just shallow near the tip of your chopper.
Right, this is you, Reggie, now.
Again?
Yeah. Reggie talking to Vernon at Radio 1's Big Weekend. You know this one, right?
There is a lot of scantily clad ladies all asking to see you, Mr. K, so today could be a good day for fanage.
That's Vernon K fans. That's what they're called.
Is that the name? Oh, wow.
It's like little monsters. Barbs. Okay.
Fanage.
And I don't. What were you thinking there?
Today could be a good day for fanage.
I have no idea.
Finally, Coronation Street.
Oh, that was lovely. I dropped off at one point and got me grazia wet.
No? Oh yeah, Chris is gone. Thanks, Reg, for playing innuendo bingo.
All good.
I know it was wetter than you imagined. And thank you very much if you watched online and listened on Radio 1. It's back next week. Thank you, Reggie.
Always.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, I'm gutted, looking back, that I missed the live episode of Towie last night. I wasn't in, I would have recorded it, but I thought, well, then I'm missing out on it being live, which is the whole point of it.
Right. It doesn't feel right if you do that.
Yeah, but now that I'm hearing what I'm hearing, I'm wishing that I had recorded it just to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it. It was something else.
The thing is, when they do, like, Coronation Street Live, they managed to pull it off superbly well. And EastEnders also did a great live episode, didn't they?
Yeah.
But you have to remember, these people, they're not actors. They're just normal people. Aren't they?
It was... But I mean, they were forced to act. I mean, and it was quite incredible.
Right, I want to play this bit. I haven't seen it, but you found this for me. It's where the cast don't realise that they're back on live. So they're on camera, but they have to kind of pretend that they're mid-conversation.
Yes.
Which must be awkward. And then, isn't there a thing where someone has to get prompted, like off of a school play?
Right, so what happens is... It cuts to their scene, and instead of them already starting to talk, you know, like, yeah, as if they're genuinely doing it...
Complete silence.
Out of nowhere, this director or someone prompts them, Lauren Pope. and then they start talking about... I mean, I can't be the only one who saw this.
What, so they remind them what to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay, let me hear that.
Lauren Pope. So, that's what I don't want to tell people so I'm happy.
Oh, I'm so gutted. Again, please. You're on.
Lauren Pope.
Go.
So, that's what I don't want to tell people so I'm happy.
It was almost like they didn't expect to be asked that. Do you know what I mean? Incredible.
Also, if you're having an argument with someone on a live TV show, get their name right.
You went out with Danny.
And
the
I told
day.
You all about that. I told you I had a coffee with Danny. It was no big deal.
Yeah,
I told
you
even everything that we spoke
there
about.
There is no restrictions. We've never said, oh, you can't do this, you can't talk to this boy,
you
but can't
talk
to this
girl. You've lied to me, Dan, Jasmine.
Well,
forgot which character he was talking to there.
And we're live.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Everyone enjoyed that. That was Tim Minchin and White Wine in the Sun.
That's good. And I guess... I know a lot of people have the old version, but the sort of important thing for me is that if you buy it this month, all the money goes to the NAS, which is the National Autism Society, and or it might be the National Autistic Society. Either way, it's to do with autism, and they're an amazing organisation. So it's kind of my charity single, and also it should be number one, obviously.
Hey, we're making a Christmas song this year.
Again?
Yeah, I know.
Not a whole musical?
Not a whole musical, just the one song. Ours is kind of sad, but with a happy twist.
As opposed to mine, which is relentless.
Ours isn't 6 minutes, sad. You'll be pleased to know.
Where's the twist come? At about 5:20?
What was it about? Well, ours is about 3 or 4 minutes, if that, I think. But yeah, we've crammed everything in that people have told us should be in the perfect Christmas song.
Okay.
We've had advice from Noddy Holder.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote one of the best ones.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, that probably didn't make it to Australia.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How does it go? Sing it for me.
Only just begun.
Nope.
No,
nothing. Nothing.
Okay. Nope. It is Merry Christmas. Right. You know
did
the
Noddy sing that?
Yeah.
Did write that? Jeepers. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
I like it that you didn't get it at first from my rendition.
No, it was a slightly odd place to kind of...
It was a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I should have started from the So Here It Is.
It's like saying that a day in the life goes like this.
Would you ever write a complete sell-out Christmas song that you know is going to... Because you've got the power that you know would be absolutely huge.
Oh, yeah, if I could figure out that, I'd definitely do that.
Would you?
Because
you've been, like, that song, the Noddy song, has been around for 40 years.
Yeah.
It still gets played everywhere.
I would quite like to. I'd quite like to write a pop song for, you know, like Ed Sheeran wrote a song for One Direction. Like, I'd really love to take that challenge, but I just have other things to do, really.
What pop star would you like to sing it?
Ed would be a good one. Pink.
Pink?
Yeah. Pink's awesome.
Yeah.
I want Pink to sing something I write.
So you write it, Pink records it.
And then
Happy
Pink
days.
And I just go on a holiday together.
That's right.
Forever. With my wife.
Yeah, of course. Tim Minchin, as always, lovely to see you and have an amazing hot Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
You too.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
The more people are telling me, the more I'm getting obsessed with this TOWIE live episode. I've not even seen it. Can you imagine the meeting that went on there? Like a high-powered energy drink meeting at ITV 2 with all the people sat around going, right, OK, what can we do? I know. What about a live episode? Well, and then someone else will learn, yeah, you're right, ER have done it. Coronation Street, they did a live one, that was good. The Bill, Will and Grace, The West Wing, they did a live episode. EastEnders, 30 Rock. Why don't we do one for The Only Way Is Essex?
But there must have been someone around that table that looked up and sort of went, what?
Are we sure?
Like, are we sure?
It needed someone to go, whoa, 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 hang on a minute, guys. Whoa, whoa, just check what you just said.
Yeah.
But obviously, instead of that, they went, that's it.
We'll action that.
You're right. Press the green. Press the go on this. Let's do it. Let's action it. But I'm so glad they did. I need to see this now.
It was an acting masterclass. That's how I would describe it.
Well, obviously. I mean, I don't remember this happening in the live episode of The West Wing, that's for sure.
So, that's what I don't want to tell people so I'm happy.
Likewise, I don't remember this happening in the live episode of ER.
You went out with Danny.
I told you all about that. I told you I had a coffee with Danny. It was no big deal.
Yeah,
I told you even everything
it.
That we spoke
there
about.
There is no restrictions. We've never said, oh, you can't do this, you can't talk to this boy, you
but
can't
you've
talk to this
girl. You lied to me, Dan, Jasmine.
No, I forgot a character name.
I mean, that alone was an amazing scene.
I need to
they
see
had
this.
To argue.
And Joey Essex was on top form, I understand.
Oh, he was brilliant. So the whole thing throughout that was whether he was going to propose or not. I won't give it away, because I don't want to spoil it.
No, not for people that haven't watched it. Is it bad that I was considering recording the live episode of Only Way Is Essex? And now I'm kicking myself.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
OK, let's cheer ourselves up, because it's a drab Tuesday afternoon with some real or no real. Do you know what? I'm still breaking out the Margaret Thatcher Mr. Whippy ice cream one all the time.
Good one, that, wasn't it?
That's such a good one. She invented it. Fact. See, yeah? Everyone that's now listening will be
true.
Going, right, I'm saying that to my mates tonight. Mm. I don't have the details, but that's true. Use it as fact. Next.
There is no word you can write using only the bottom row of the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Everyone looks at their keyboard.
Got that right in front of me right now.
Any word. Oh, it's like countdown. Make a word of that.
M&M.
Where are you getting the E from there for M&M?
Mmm.
Or the I.
Is that a word? A series of M's? Is that technically a word?
Not really.
B&B.
Okay,
no.
Real or no real?
Real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
Not one word.
Good fact there.
Next.
The ladder was invented by Christopher Staircase in 1821.
No. Basically.
He'd make a good DJ.
Do you think there's anyone called Staircase?
Christopher Staircase.
There's a jingle for him.
There must be somewhere.
A Mr. Staircase.
Yeah.
Right, I'm having a look. I know this is cheating a bit, but...
So the ladder inventor, Christopher Staircase.
No, I can't find a Mr. Staircase, so I'm going to say that's no real.
That one is no real.
Right, we'll have loads of people whose surname is Staircase now, betcha.
I don't think we will.
Here's your next real or no real.
That one is no real.
No. Shh.
No.
Let's go to this one. Go.
The average person has 3 to 5 best friends and usually hates one person in their social group.
Now, was that the answer you've given away before?
No, because
right.
I changed it.
OK. 3 to 5 people in their group hate one of them.
Someone in their social circle they
social
actually
circle.
Hate.
So my best mates, I can't really say I hate any of them.
Must be one.
I think most groups, there is that. So I'm going to say on average... This
hate's quite strong.
Is that the word he used?
Hate.
3 to 5 people
Let's hear it again.
Okay. The average person has 3 to 5 best friends and usually hates one person in their social group.
Oh, so it's a separate thing. They don't hate one of those best mates.
Okay, that's different.
They hate someone in their social circle. True.
That one is real.
Mm.
Yeah. Are you paranoid now?
Massively.
You could be the hated one.
Yeah. Probably am. Oh, well.
Who's your hated person in your social...
I don't think we have one.
Everyone has, it's a fact.
Well, who's yours?
Good point.
Drop it to play that game. Next.
During the banana shortage of 1958, banana splits were made with courgettes or carrots.
The banana shortage of 1958.
So I imagine that my gran was whipping up a lovely pudding of banana split, only with a courgette.
Do you know what? I don't think this is wholly outrageous, because...
It's the rations, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there would have been a time after the war where, the, you know, bananas were hard to come by, I think. The
rations weren't done all in 58.
No, but I think bananas, you know, they probably took a long time to sort of...
To fruit.
Get back in the game. I'm thinking... go on, I'm going to say that's real.
That one is no real.
No, it's not.
Now you look like an idiot.
Oh...
Next.
During a 9-month strike in 2002, the Weather Channel broadcast repeats.
I'm obsessed with the Weather Channel.
Repeats, though.
I would happily watch repeats. I don't care what if it's today's weather in Chicago.
Sorry, when you say you're obsessed with the...
First time I went to America, I watched the Weather Channel. You know how I like to watch TV on holiday?
Yep.
I watched it probably non-stop for about 5 hours. I was fascinated, because when you first go to a new place, you're like... I was fascinated that it was such a big country that it could be sunny in one place and snowy in another.
And you saw...
And they used to report on it. It's still on in America.
So you just watch this... So you're the, are you the kind of person who would record the weather to watch it back? Does anyone do that?
I wouldn't put it past me. I love the Weather Channel so much.
I can't remember what the original question to this was. I'm just amazed that you're so obsessed with the Weather Channel.
I love it. So... They did repeats 1 year.
Oh, right. Well, there's clearly a demand for it with people like you.
Mm.
I'm going to say no reel.
That one is a no reel.
I would have still watched it. And after that round of reel or no reel, where are we at with your scoring?
Do you know what? I got 40 points. I'm happy with that.
Gosh. Let us know how you did, please. 81199. If you were playing along today, it's 10 for everyone you got right. Thanks.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So, that was Tuesday's show. You know you want to listen tomorrow live between 1 and 4 on BBC Radio 1. Yes, you do, because we've got another tap end for you at 1:45. See you tomorrow, or get the podcast. Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.